Good morning. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I think it's still the reason for the season. Today I want to talk a little bit about, it's not more or less a sermon, but kind of a short story. And it's kind of how I came to faith, and some of you know this already, but when I think of God's grace, I think of the song Amazing Grace, because it is amazing, and he saved a wretch like me. So the title of my little short story is Experiencing God's Grace. A new creation in Christ. How does that make you feel? This is 2019, a new year, a new beginning. Every day can be a new beginning. That's the kind of God we serve. We can totally screw up today and be forgiven. All we have to do is ask. You are no longer the person you once were. Do you feel any different inside? Do you look different on the outside? I look at myself in the mirror and I don't see a change in the way I look. But changed? Yes, I am. It's a mind change. It's a heart change. It's a choice change. In 2 Corinthians, as Connie just read, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting our sins against us. Can't get much better than that. Your sins are not counted against you. It's like you never sinned at all. In the book of Ephesians, we find that we are made alive in Christ. Ephesians 1 and 2, 2, 1 and 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, and followed the ways of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is at work in those who are disobedient. Ephesians 6, or 2, 6 through 9 says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that we, in the coming age, might show us incomparably the riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. When I was a young man, I did a lot of crazy things like most of us do. But I played softball for many years, almost up till I was 60 years old. And I didn't need you to tell me how good I was. I told you how good I was. And when I came to the Lord, when I was 49, I stopped doing that. I had a heart change. So then why do so many people think they can work for this precious gift that is freely given by our Heavenly Father? Some people think they're already good enough to make it on their own access to heaven. Others just don't believe in heaven or in God, or that there isn't a God. They say that there's a higher power, and they're right, there is a higher power. But the higher power is God. No one else. It just doesn't exist on its own. God has been there from the beginning. He'll be there in the end. Jesus is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. God can see the end from the beginning. Who else can do that? When I was about 10 years old, I knew who God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit were. I went to church 6 days a week. But I really never committed to open my heart to the Lord and invite Him in as my personal Savior. I went through many rough times. Although Jesus was right there with me, I had no time for Him. It took me a long time to finally wake up and ask Him to come into my heart. My life started to change that very moment. As I look back in those days, I can't thank my Jesus enough for taking me away from the way of life I was living. He led me in a totally different direction, a direction I was not willing to do for many, many years. I'm so very blessed at what Jesus has allowed me to do. I sure wish that I would have asked Him into my heart long ago. Only God knows the blessings I've missed out on. God created us with a craving that needs to be filled. And when we fill the hole with anything other than Him, we find that none of that works. I know I've bought a few new cars, and I thought they're pretty cool. And when they get dirty, they look just like every other car on the road. It's not new anymore. We search for things such as security, comfort, wealth, power, success, popularity, and even status. When we gain these things, if and when we do, do they really fill the hole that we thought they would fill? Are we missing the point of craving itself? The purpose of these cravings are signs that lead us to God. He is the only one that can truly satisfy our deepest and emptiest as we are looking so hard to fill the hole. Jesus Christ is the ultimate treasure, and we just need to let Him in. Will you invite Him into your heart today? God knows how imperfect we are, and yet He patiently will teach us how to walk in faith until we learn to trust Him. We need to have a responsive and teachable spirit and open our hearts to Jesus. As I read a passage from Oswald Chambers, it put my thoughts into words perfectly. The last person we get intimate with is Jesus Christ. Why is that? Probably because we're on our deathbed and we're getting ready to go meet Him. And all we know is this earth. We don't know the life after this life. Before Pentecost, the disciples knew that Jesus was the one that gave them power to conquer demons. It was a wonderful intimacy that they had with Him and shared with Him. But there is a much closer intimacy to be with Christ. He said, "I have called you friends," in John 15:15. True friendship is rare on this earth. It means identifying with someone in thought, heart, and spirit. The whole experience of life is designed to enable us to enter into the closest relationship with Jesus Christ. It is a joy to Jesus when we take time to walk more intimately with Him. The bearing of fruit is shown to be the visible result of an intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Once we get intimate with Jesus, we are never lonely and we will never lack for any understanding or compassion. We can continually pour out our hearts to Him without being perceived as overly emotional or pitiful. The Christian who is truly intimate with Christ will never draw attention to himself, but only show the evidence of a life where Jesus is completely in control. I still struggle with that today. In my readings and prayer time and in the daytime, I always say, "Lord, I want you to be in perfect control of my life today. Take it over 100%. But do I let him do that? I'm a human being. Sometimes I think I know better for me than what God knows for me. That's far from true. God made this body. He made all your bodies, and he knows every hair on your head. And he knows everything that's going to happen to you until he takes you home. I didn't care about that. I didn't think about it. It's a joy. I already said that. A bearing of fruit is shown to be a visible result of an intimate relationship with Christ. We're never lonely again. A Christian who is truly intimate with Christ doesn't draw attention to himself, but only show the evidence of a life where Jesus is completely in control. This is the outcome of allowing Jesus to satisfy every area in the life to its depth. The result of that life is strong, calm balance that our Lord gives us to those who are intimate with him. God is still in the business of renewing our broken lives. He doesn't want any of us to perish. He wants us all to repent for our sins. God's patience, his kindness, his constant recalculating is meant to lead you and me to repentance. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. The Apostle Paul, formerly Saul, was on his way to Damascus with letters to the high priest to arrest anyone who was found to belong to the way. Saul was even breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. The letters he carried gave him permission to bring people back to Jerusalem as prisoners. What happened on the way? A big change was about to take place and change his life forever. The Lord spoke to him, and he became a new creation. He was blinded for a number of days, and when he got to see again, it was like scales fell from his eyes. And the Lord sent him to us as Gentiles. I remember when I first started reading the Bible, and Jesus said, go to the Jews, go to all the towns, and preach the word. And I thought, I'm not a Jew. Well, how am I going to be saved then? Well, then I kept reading the Bible and came to the Lord and found out that he had Paul come to the Gentiles. He didn't look different, but he did feel different. The Lord made him the apostle to the Gentiles, you and me, so we are also allowed to be part of the family of God. When I first became a believer in Jesus, I didn't receive a great light from heaven like Saul did. I thought, I'm going to get this big flush of feeling or sweat or fall to my knees or be blinded for a day or two. That didn't happen. But what did happen is he changed my heart. Jesus came to me through reading of his word, the Bible. And I call that a love letter, and each one of us has one if you have a Bible. That's specifically written to you. I didn't look any different. However, I did feel different. Jesus went to work in my heart. As a young man of 17, I came from a very dysfunctional family. Graduated high school. I couldn't get a real job until I was 18. So I worked in a truck stop, started as a dishwasher and then a fry cook. A buddy of mine got me in there, and within a couple of weeks, we saved up enough money to get our own apartment. I bought my first car for $45. I thought I was on my way. I was not a believer or even a follower of Christ at that time. I was on my own and did what I wanted to do. Not all my decisions were right ones. They weren't. But I was on my own boss. Nobody was ever going to tell me what to do again. If I went to my father's house and didn't agree with him, I'd just walk out. I had my own place. I didn't need to be at his house. But from 17 to 49, I was traveling a road away from the Lord. Not good. Not healthy. Not looking for any answers that I personally didn't agree with. I didn't seem to care much about the life Christ wanted me to live. But as I started to read the Bible, I began to learn about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And a new creation I began to become. Our stories of failure can be God's stories of success. Philippians 3, 7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. In Philippians 3, 10 and 11, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. A new creation in Christ. These are the goals in which we are all to strive for. Never in my wildest dream would I ever think of becoming a pastor. Being able to go out and meet with people, the elderly, the sick, the homebound, to be able to bring them the Word of God, to visit with them, to tell a joke or two, see them smile, have a good time over coffee. A lot of you I've been to visit and you've given me treats. It's obvious. But to go out and see people and bring them the Word of God and pray with them. 20 years ago, I would have laughed at you if you'd have told me I was going to be doing that. Paul calls himself the worst of all sinners. Him and I are going to have an argument about that one day. Jesus not only changed him, he gave him a new life, a new calling, a new creation. If the Lord can change Saul into Paul and allow me to do what I do, what can he do for you? Philippians 3:14 says, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. In Romans 12:9-13, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need, and practice hospitality. Let me present you with a challenge this year. God calls us to service. What does that look like? Service is the overflow which pours from a life filled with love and devotion. Service is what brings to the relationship with Jesus and is a reflection of our identity with God. It becomes a natural part of our lives. God brings us into proper relationship with himself, and this is a reflection of that. We serve him out of motivation of absolute love. Service to God is deliberate love gift. When I invite Jesus to become my Lord of my life, his voice and mine become one in service. The Son of God reveals himself to me, and out of devotion to him, service becomes an everyday way of life to me. Let's think about what that might mean in a practical way We naturally feel the needs that are around us and don't hesitate to help fulfill them. Are there people in your path of life that need encouragement, that need constant prayer, that need your attention? Jesus wants to work through you to reach them. You just need to listen and take action. It'll become second nature. How exciting it would be if even 10 of us this year would take up a challenge to spend this next year listening for the need and taking action for Jesus. Jesus wants to love others through you and me. We need to be totally open to this and willing to go out and do it. We talk about serving the community, but are we serving the community? Are we talking the talk or walking the walk? There are no excuses. We are destined for divine appointments. Throughout this year, let us begin to look and listen for our Maker to present us with these extreme opportunities. How will you respond? You are a new creation in Christ. Each day we get an opportunity to start over because we have a loving, forgiving Father and His Son as our advocate. So take that forward this year. Where sin abounds, grace abounds that much more. It's all about choices that we get to make. And as I said earlier, I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. Let's pray. Father in heaven, without you, we would have nothing. Without your grace, we would be hopeless. Without the Spirit of your Son, we would be helpless. Please show us how to give you the honor and the glory you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen.